This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode. Not just another episode, a special episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuck boy, one of the three action boys, the number one fuck boy, fuck, Johnny G. Guys, I'm alone in the High and Mighty studios because this is a special free bonus episode dropped into my High and Mighty feed to let you know about another podcast I work on called Action Boys. Now, if you have been listening to High and Mighty from the beginning, you know what Action Boys are. We did a few episodes here on the feed. Go back and look through and check it out. Free eps. But also, over at patreon.com/actionboys or actionboys.biz. Actionboys.biz. You'll see that me, Ben Rogers from Hollywood Masterclass and from Shitty Jobs, and Ryan Stanger from Dumbbells and Bangarang at UCB, the three of us get together and talk about classic action movies. The episodes are always longer than the movie, and it's worth it. For $5 a month, you get four episodes. For $8 a month, you become a Shadow Wolf, which is a second tier in which you get to listen to us do Q&As. Hey. Forget that. I just want you guys to get hyped on Action Boys. So do yourself a real favor and listen to our Rocky 3 episode. And if this is the kind of thing you're into, you're listening to it for free here, why don't you jump over to actionboys.biz or patreon.com/actionboys and get yourself a subscription. Join the Patreon. Become a sexual tyrannosaur, or who knows, a shadow wolf. The show is full of inside jokes. It's funny. It's one of my favorite things I do every week. And think about that. One of my favorite things I do every week is with Ben and Ryan, who are fucking weirdos. Guys, check it out. Here you go. The Action Boys present Rocky 3.
You guys get your flu shot?
I don't. I'm worried about autism.
You know, we were
taking second line swing.
We were I just started dating a girl, and we were out. Remember when we went downtown, you and Tiff, and my parents were there?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
we went to the Brill building, and
yeah,
then,
Grace brought up, was like, do we know anybody anti-vax?
Yeah,
and we were talking about it, and I went home that night and like got a drink with this girl I was starting to see, and separately, without me even bringing it up, she started talking about how she was anti-vax. And it was like the end of a nice night, and we were like kind of kissing goodnight, and somehow we started talking about vaccinations. And then I was like,
she's laying the groundwork to make sure you're up to date on your shots before she fucks you.
And it turned into a fucking, like, I got weirded out, and she picked up on it and was like,
so this is like when that kind of discussion was, people were having it.
This was six months ago.
This is like 5 years after it was in the zeitgeist.
Yes.
Wow. And it just came up out of the blue.
It came up out of the blue.
And she just like throwing a flare up to see if you're on the same page.
And then I brought up, cause we were kind of talking about the Disneyland smallpox thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then she was like, well, yeah, but that's the news.
Oh, my God.
Boy. And then it got, and so
oh,
then that,
boy.
And it was just peeling back on you, where it was like, okay, you also don't believe the mainstream media.
All you need to do for me to write you off is say something like, well, I don't know if I trust newspapers.
All right.
Yeah. Well, see you later.
I'd still be able to fuck her, but
I can separate the art from the artist.
Well,
I'm still fucking Louis.
Sad postscript. The sad postscript is like, I was weirded out, didn't talk to her for like a week and a half, and then I was like, hey, how you doing? She was like, wow, I didn't expect to hear from you again. Thought you were weirded out by the whole anti-vax thing. She was like, ha, 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 no.
Yeah.
And I couldn't get her back. She was, I just blown her off for too long.
Oh, you tried?
I tried. I tried.
Came crawling
I was
back.
Like, you know what? Like, fuck it. She's beautiful. Who cares?
Yeah, you came crawling back. You're like, look, I read a few blog posts from Jenny McCarthy. Turned around.
Making a lot of sense.
I folded so quickly.
I understand that, like, a lot of stuff that's come up in science and health in the last 100 years has been, like, maybe slightly debunked. Like, okay, fat-free isn't necessarily the answer. Sugar is bad, too. Hey, guys, this is, you know, all saturated fats, all that stuff. And then all of a sudden someone's like, but the things that are definitely wrong are smallpox. Like, how do you fucking choose
the beautiful babies? They put these big needles in the beautiful babies. It's too much.
I hate to see a beautiful baby get a big needle in it. I don't know about you.
I've seen it. They put the autism in the beautiful babies.
They've got these big autism needles. They're just jabbing in little babies.
Just do it slow.
Do it slow.
Just do it slow.
Space
you
it out.
Do it. Just space it out.
Space it out. Do it slow.
Welcome to Action Boys.
Body blow, body blow.
No, no, he's getting mad.
Can I get a kiss?
Stallone's yeah, sure. wife at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Guys, we're talking about a little movie we like to call
Bam 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 Bam
Bam. Rocky III, a movie about a style of boxing where you take turns, full rounds of throwing punches. One round, one guy punches, the second round, the other guy punches.
This is where, if boxing was like this, it would be such a popular sport.
The reason I don't like boxing is because I watch Rocky first.
You keep expecting it to be like this, and then they just hold each other the whole time, and you're like, fucking punch, man.
Put your arms at your side and take 20 straight shots to the face.
Rocky starts doing defense in the last round. That's like a strategy.
And it's like, he's like, no, it's working. He's blocking.
He's slipping punches.
He's blocking and slipping punches. Everybody's like, what's he doing? He's getting killed out there.
I have never seen this out of the champ before.
He's getting blasted in the T9 vertebrae and in the fucking gloves next to his face.
He's southpaw. He's got such a weird thing to wear that where his left hand, you know, it's like right, his left straight.
Yeah.
Like when he's throwing jabs, like just flies way out to the side. It's just like,
this is completely incorrect boxing.
He's in almost like horse stance. He's not like, he's squared up fighting.
Wild
haymakers.
And
yeah.
It looks fucking great.
They know how to shoot.
They know how to show.
These guys have figured out how to shoot boxing. It's
fucking great.
They've done. Would you say Rocky III is the second worst though? Where does Rocky III fall in your ranking?
No.
Well, I don't know.
Because five is the worst. One through five. I'm not including.
Five is undoubtedly the worst. We're talking about Rocky Balboa.
Yeah.
Or Creed.
Yeah.
Five is unacceptable. It's just too sad. It's too much of a bummer. Because it's so bad.
For me, it goes 4, 1, 3, and 2. I'm not positive where they fall. And then 5. Because 4 is my favorite, hands down.
I love 1.
One is so good.
One is objectively a good movie.
Yeah. One's a great movie.
But 4 is so fucking
One is
fun.
High art.
Yeah, it is.
One is high art, 2
One's
is,
an Oscar win. Like, yeah. It's like, it's deserving. It's
the,
like
all a, the other ones are like kind of blend together for me.
Right.
Except 5, which I just pretend. 5 is like Crystal Skull. I pretend it didn't exist.
I don't know. I do love that street fight at the end.
Where he does that weird roll.
Yeah.
That stuck out in my head so much. Because, of course, when I watch it with my dad, he's like, you don't want to choose to get all the grab.
Yeah.
This one at least has some more realistic training in it.
Yes. Yeah.
Like where they actually work on footwork and like punching, like
No, they earn. I mean, it's over the fucking top, but they earn it. Like, you could tell they're talking about strategy and like on paper.
Yeah.
I
like Rocky III. I think also Stallone, Rocky himself, has like a decent arc in this movie.
He's
where you
great.
See him. So,
also, the homoerotic qualities of 3 really make it stand out.
Oh, that beach run is like the best.
If we're ranking, how do you rank yours?
Rocky's?
Yeah. One for sure, Head and Shoulders, and then you've got, you said,
I think one, I think I go one, probably four, because four is such a good time.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Gabrus and I are not alone. I don't know if we've talked about this, Stanger, but did you use four as an answer to a social studies essay question at any point in your life?
I mean, I
wrote a paper that was A Hunt for Red October and Rocky IV, and it was for a history class about the Cold War.
Yeah. It's like an automatic C. I bet you the teachers never even read them. It's like, oh, great, another dude write fucking... about Rocky IV.
That's like when I took medieval Europe as my second history class, and I wrote my final paper on weapons and tactics because I just took the class because I like D&D. And then it was like way too actual, like medieval politics and stuff. And I was like, lame. So then I wrote about like siege warfare. And the teacher's like, this wasn't, I wrote 15 pages about like the Battle of Agincourt and how long English longbows saved them there. I was like,
what'd you get?
I got a D.
Oh, jeez. That's a fucking,
oh, that's low, man.
Yeah, that sucks. Yeah,
well, that's like, C is just turning it in. D is like, what? Yeah, I don't like you.
They're making a statement.
D was pretty much like, this wasn't a choice of something to write. But because you handed in 15 pages, I can't give you an F. Where do you rank them?
So I would say one, number one. And then, like, it's almost a tie between three and four for me for like pure enjoyment. And I'll say even like shaping who I am. It's almost like watching this, rewatching this, I was like, man, this is almost like my Star Wars. Like, it's up there for me with stuff like I watched so much as a kid.
I didn't realize Rocky IV is the one I've seen the most in my life. Rocky III, rewatching it, I was like, oh my God, I'm remembering like nuanced scenes. I must have seen this 100 times.
Rocky I I've seen the most. It's just insane how different Rocky gets in Rocky III.
Absolutely.
He's like, he's a more of a character in the first two. And I don't like that he ever won. Like, the charm of one. I mean, the rest are kind of like fantasy superhero movies.
Totally.
Right, yeah.
If you made a new Rocky where, like, he woke up in a senior citizen home and you realized that, like, all the previous Rockies were all just dreams that he had, I would be on board for that.
And he's got a box like a 75-year-old guy from a different senior citizen home.
Grudge match. Is Stallone, is he the first to do, like, real fan service in like a big studio production? I mean, what that, I don't think people were aware of like what they had at the time. Yeah. So you would see like ripoff sequels, right? Where it would just be like Jaws 3D. And it was just like, hey, people kind of recognize this. We'll spend.
Stallone was like on board with that.
What's that? Well, I think Stallone wasn't trying to rip people off. Yeah. He was like, we'll give it the full huge studio treatment.
Right.
And I know exactly what people want to see and I'm going to fucking deliver.
Yeah. He like heightens like from Rocky I. He's like, cool, great, in like, and then he just keeps.
Yeah, it's like people want to see him win.
And I love Stallone as an artist. It is a fun ride.
Yeah, directed by him.
Well, and I think it's an allegory for his real life because it's like he's at the height of his ego. And I'll say that there's a weird. You would think that it would be more removed. There's almost more intimacy in it for me because it's so his ego on display. Like, could you imagine fucking
it's his most personal movie?
Yeah. It's accidentally his most personal movie.
Because it's also a whole, it's an essay on masculinity.
Right.
Yeah. And what it means to be a real man and overcome and having the fear to the strength to admit you're afraid.
Amazing,
especially like it makes me think of the Tarantino Top Gun conversation.
Yeah.
And what was that 90s movie? It's like
it's the Roger Avery movie.
With Stoltz.
Yeah.
And Lola Run.
No, it's like at a party they're having a conversation.
What is that? God damn it.
But he talks about how Top Gun is like an allegory for like Maverick and Iceman, like where it's like you can ride my wing anytime or whatever the fuck it is.
It's the most
bullshit. You can be mine.
Exactly.
You be my wingman.
I'll bottom.
Yeah.
It's pretty much what that says.
But there's that conversation with Adrian and Rocky at the beach is like, what the fuck is this movie about?
It's almost nonsense.
It's like, I've been living a lie.
Yeah.
I'm afraid to tell people the truth.
Yeah.
It's really, I like you guys saying it's like, it is his most personal movie. He, for the maybe the first time, kind of paints Rocky in a bad light. Like, Rocky's making the wrong choices. You know what I mean? In the beginning of the movie. But I think it's like, he thinks that's what it's, it's a misrepresentation of what he's doing fame wise. Like, it's what he didn't take his own advice from Rocky Balboa. That's what I'm trying to get out. It's a very personal movie accidentally, but he learned nothing from watching it and making it.
It's such, cause like the other ones, like Rocky was so vulnerable. Like he couldn't, and even in like two, like he's got this chance to do endorsements, but he's like too stupid to read the copy and shit.
Right, yeah.
And then he's always kind of like, he's dressed like white trash. You know, it's like, hey, I think this is nice. Right. And it's like, it looks like
his
shit.
Taste is off.
His taste is off.
And he stands out as like, he's just a fucking,
he's a bum.
Simpleton.
Yeah. He's got no class. He's a bum. They call like Adrian a retard and stuff. Yeah.
It's like, the zoo retards like
it's the only
is also like a freak, like the whole, like,
yeah, so it's this, it's great, right? And like you almost weep watching that first one.
Yes.
In this one it's like he's in nice suits.
Yeah,
he's,
they're got like,
somehow he's smarter. Like,
he's smart now.
That way with boxers.
No,
I mean, it's, you don't get smarter worse after 10 fights.
Yeah. No, he's like more articulate. He's always like in a fucking suit. He's like, you know, he's got like great
bounce. Like, Paulie takes the arc he should have taken.
Yeah,
yeah.
He's got great taste and shit.
Well, I forgot how fucking depressing and ridiculous.
Sleep with Me is the name of the Roger Avery.
That's what it is. Yeah,
for whoever the fuck made it. It's not Roger Avery, but whatever.
Oh, I thought Roger Avery wrote it. Or I could be wrong.
I think he wrote that scene.
No, yeah.
Or some shit. I don't know.
Excuse me. Paulie, I forgot his whole arc in this
great
movie is so great.
It's great. Burt Young is doing great work.
California, real character in this film.
Yeah, LA is sort of a character on its own.
I love.
Should we ring the bell or?
Yeah, should we ring the bell?
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, in this corner, standing 6'0" at 195 pounds, 8% body fat, with a tribal tattoo to match, he's the Mustachioed Marauder. Did you know he played college ball? Ladies and gentlemen, activate Stangerbot!
Ding, ding.
Hey, absolutely. Hey, bzz, bzz, bzz. Hey, come on. Bzz, bzz. Hey. Bzz. Hey, how you doing? Bzz, bzz, bzz. Hey, come on. So this starts in the closing seconds of where we left Rocky II. Very dramatic ending to that fight.
Yeah.
Like they both get knocked down. It's whoever can beat the bell, like it stand or beat the count and stand up.
Yeah, and Rocky stands up at 9.
Rocky stands up at 9, beats him by 1 second.
Stallion, you only beat me by a second.
Yeah.
he's so good in this movie.
Oh my God.
So cool. Buddy.
I mean, Mr. T's one of the most accurate depictions of like a boxing personality.
Yes.
Of just like being able to pull off the trash talk better. Cause
I mean, the stuff they have written for him that he pulls off and makes sense of is I've never seen a high wire act like that. I mean, it's incredible.
Paper champion.
Like he makes paper champion his own.
Pity the fool.
Yeah. Pity the fool.
Is from this.
It wasn't until like I was at the gym and I knew some guys that were doing Zercher squats over in the corner. They were talking about this movie and they mentioned that Pity the Fool started in this movie. I always assumed it was his expression first and he brought it into this movie.
No, classic.
Do you hate Balboa?
No, I don't hate Balboa. I pity the fool. And I'll destroy any man that tries to take what I got. Dead meat.
He's so fucking good in this. He's never acted that well again.
I loved watching these on TV because they would. I feel like they were always like 1, 2, 3, and 4 were shown in a loop a lot of like holiday weekends and stuff.
Yeah, it'd be like 4th of July, Thanksgiving.
Yeah, this is coming on around Thanksgiving, so it thematically works.
That's why we picked it.
These movies never, like Stallone never thought they would be shown like that because you could really see the differences. You'll just finish watching 2 and then you'll watch 3 and it's like, these don't match up, especially I think it's a 1 to 2 where like the footage doesn't line up.
No.
And it's like, looks very different.
Yeah. I mean, Stallone was a different person in 1 and 2, you know, and then 3, like he's
Cobra in 3.
Is he working? Is he working with Columbo at this point? He started working out with Franco Columbo. I mean, he looks insane.
He
transformed himself into a superhero.
Yeah. He looks like a boxer in the first two. And this one, he looks like a action figure.
It's total freak show.
Can we talk about like at the very beginning, how satisfying, we never talk about this. Or maybe we have the United Artists logo, just like top, like when that kicks in,
it made me so happy.
All these old bumpers and like
corporate logos at the top of these movies we watch always put me in a good mood.
Dude, the one that always stands out in my head is like the horse running forward.
Oh, TriStar.
Yeah. That's the one that always burned in my head. Oh. And from TV, it was Sit Ubu Sit.
Yeah.
Or shh.
No, I'm with the MGM and UA. The UA one. Yeah.
And like just all the weird fucking sound effects that go with them. Like,
gets me fucking pumped. It's like Pavlov's Dogs.
Yeah.
It's like
Pavlovian.
It just like triggers me to be like, all right, I'm going to see a fucking movie now.
Yeah. Remember Cobble Hill Cinemas? They had that like old retro, like, you know, like the setup before their movies. That to me.
I love it. Carl Co. is like a big one for action movies.
Carl Co. is really cool too.
Oh, yeah,
it almost sounds, and it almost like is some theme from an Arnold movie that like plays like for a second, you know?
Yeah, these are fuck. I get so pumped.
Here's it. I forgot to mention this. Malfunction by Snang. How you doing? I'm not perfect, right?
The belt.
What's that?
Oh,
the belt, but also the title walks across the screen.
Yeah, scrolls up by the side. Rocky
by the
three.
Side. Yeah, that's all the Rockies
over
did that.
The belt.
Over the belt. There's other movies that do that. Flashdance does that. Cruising does that.
Those are all your favorite movies.
Yeah. Yeah.
The three movies that formed you: Rocky III, Cruising,
and Flashdance.
Flashdance.
Those are my Star Wars.
Yeah. It's how I got to be who I am. All right,
come on. Hey, I'm walking in.
Hey. But yeah, I love that. I mean,
it has the Star Wars effect where it like gets you fucking like in a mentality for this movie.
Wouldn't it be cool if any sequel showed you the most dramatic part from the previous movie as the opening to the, like, I really like that part of Rocky III that it opens with like, oh yeah, you get like a little taste of how good Rocky II
like,
was.
And TV shows do it now.
Previously on.
It's previously on in Rocky.
Yeah.
But it's like to see just that scene where you're like, oh, this was such a good scene. Now this movie just kicks off with it.
Previously both on TBS's guestbook.
Rocky's the new champion of the world. He finally fucking dethroned Apollo.
Yeah.
Yo, Adrian, I did it.
Yeah.
Freeze frame on
Yo
the
Adrian, I did it.
Yeah. They fucking freeze on him, zoom in, and then bam, bam, bam.
Oh my
bam.
God.
This is fucking awesome. It's a montage set to Eye of the Tiger, and it's fucking amazing. It's just seeing Rocky star rise and intercut with Clubber Lang doing the fucking work.
Yeah.
And Clubber Lang
himself
watching him too, following him and stuff.
With like feather earrings, just like fuming and shit. He's
Mr.
doing like.
T looks fucking awesome.
Yeah.
He's one of the coolest looking guys of all time.
Yeah.
He's got this crazy
What's
African
his backstory?
Warrior. He's a fucking dude from the streets of Chicago.
He played college football
for a year. Washed out pretty fast.
Pretty fast. And then he won like the like some like bar bouncer challenge.
He was a bouncer started wearing so the legend goes, his like gold jewelry was from people leaving all the like jewels from fights and shit at the bars. He would put it on and start wearing it, so it would like accrue into this big fucking
God, it's like
huge.
A necklace of ears from Vietnam. He's and like, then every guy he beats, he takes
and
his chain.
He made people start calling him Mr. T.
He's billed as Mr. T in the movie. It says and introducing Mr. T in parentheses.
And to counter racism, because he was sick of seeing like so many of his family being called boy, where he'd force people to call him Mr. first thing, where it's like Mr. just to like trigger them into respect.
Oh, that's
sometimes he's a fascinating guy. His haircut he got from reading a National Geographic about like African warriors, like that was their tribal haircut. He was like, I'm going to stop doing this.
and oddly, that upbringing sounds fucking hard as nails, and like that life sounds hard as nails. But then he's oddly like a children's icon and like a positive.
No,
spirit?
I saw him at,
like, it's so awesome.
I saw him at Ralph's recently, like maybe like in the last 4 years. Beautiful new Ralph's over on in Studio City.
Oh, shit.
It's the multi level one.
Hell yeah.
Ralph's is a Southern California market chain. Just getting into regional specifics. But anyway, he could, like, you could tell, like, he knew what people wanted from him and wanted pictures.
Stay he's up. Like, yeah. Get them candy balls out of your shopping cart.
Yeah. But he's like, I'm glad to take a picture. Yeah, you want a picture? And, like, everybody's, like, coming over and taking pictures. And this woman was, like, looking at him and so nervous, she bumped him hard with her shopping cart, like, in his leg. And she was like, ah, like, I'm so sorry. He's like, don't be sorry. I'm glad it happened. Everybody know how tough I am. Like, he just, like, made her feel good about bumping him with the fucking car. I was like, this guy is the fucking best. Don't be sorry. Don't be. I'm glad it happened. Let everybody know how tough I am.
Remember that movie Freaks where he played the bearded lady?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The Alex Winter
yeah,
one.
Alex yeah. Winter. He's fucking great. I loved Mr. T, man.
He's in phenomenal shape in this. And, yeah. like, Mr. T in shape is he could not look better. He's got, like, a 12-inch waist. It's fucking yo, crazy.
He's built. He's got that build that, like, bodybuilders have, like, where he's like a spatula, like his waist to shoulder yeah. ratio is like 1-4.
He looks athletic. He's hitting the chin-ups with like his fingers and shit. I mean, yeah, it's like
crazy shit. He's running with that fucking awesome Nike t-shirt on.
Oh, dude, I would kill for the awesome. Workout stuff in this.
Oh, all of it.
I would kill for Rocky's entire wardrobe once he goes badass. Once he goes to California, that's how I dress. Short shorts.
Yeah,
and
you
guys
start wearing a halter top.
No joke, I got one.
We
got
to recreate that scene. Yeah. The Action Boy should recreate that.
I honestly one day tweeted at Ron Funches back when Ron Funches was fat, and I was like, if you ever wanted to do, like, I kind of knew him, I was like, you and I should do
like a Fat Boys parody
yeah,
of
the Rocky and fucking Apollo thing. Racing. Me and him would have been so funny in the same outfits.
Oh god, I bet you could get Stallone to shoot it. Hey, these guys eat a lot of junk.
This is why you shouldn't eat the junk. Yeah. You wind up looking like these guys.
Hey, everybody loves jokes about junk food. Come on.
This fucking movie, you're talking about that music, that montage, that music. I was watching it in my living room. I felt like shit today because I had a rough day yesterday. And then the second that music came on, I went into my office, grabbed my dumbbells, brought them out there, and I was just like,
incredibly motivating.
Yeah.
They're incredibly motivating. But let's talk about the montage because it's like we're seeing Rocky defending his title against what we later learn are jobbers.
What was the first
tomato cans?
It was insane.
Oh, Yank Ball.
Big Yank Ball.
Yeah.
Come on. That's like a fucking innuendo.
I think it's the guy's real name. I'm serious. I think it is.
That's like an actual boxer, is what you're saying.
Funny Big Yank Ball.
Hey, it'd be funny.
There's a lot of weird shows.
My son is Yank Ball.
He's like fighting at Radio City Music Hall. He's fighting at Caesar's Palace. And he's winning.
Yeah, defending the title.
All over the world. We see newspapers in like German. Italian yeah. everywhere and
doing Clover's Amex
watching.
Commercials.
The, yes. The art's great because they probably are just doing real Stallone stuff and then changing a thing or two. You right, know, it's like yeah, him on yeah. the Muppets and shit.
Oh yeah, my buddy at the gym told me that's footage from Stallone at the Muppet Show, and then they later add Kermit.
Yeah, I heard that too. Yeah, I was doing some Dorian Yates. Same. I was doing some Dorian Yates inspired high intensity training, single rep stuff.
Yeah,
you know, making a lot of noise.
Shit.
But in between breaks, I overheard the same thing.
Yeah, sometimes I'm making too much noise doing high intensity stuff, so like I'll miss out on a little tidbit here or there.
Yeah, but you can kind of like reverse engineer it. Yeah.
So we see Clubber fight too, and he's vicious and like hitting guys while they're down and like pushing reps.
Yeah, like yeah. Going like 8 seconds after the bell.
Right? Don't turn your back on me, sucker.
Yeah, and Stallone's doing American Express commercials.
Yeah, so now he's doing the endorsements,
telethons.
Yeah. Literally know that you're a champion.
And we
yeah.
see him like opening birthday presents and Christmas presents.
It's weird. They wheeled in a fucking motorcycle to give him on Christmas, and he's sitting on that like underneath the tree.
Yeah. And it's intercut with Clubber just taking hits in the face
yeah.
over and over again. And like
and just, not being fazed by
yeah,
it.
Like, not at
like,
all.
Gritting through it.
And like yeah. Rocky's meeting the last three presidents. And Mick starts scoping out Clubber because like Clubber's
that's a great
raising.
Switch when yeah. you see Mick in the same kind of lighting and angle that you saw Clubber
yeah,
watch
yeah.
Rocky. Yeah,
shot those on the same day probably.
Yeah, you know, right.
Same
like,
lighting setup. Yeah,
out.
Yeah.
And Clubber raised.
They probably
the
have Mick. They probably have Mick on three Apple boxes. Yeah. Like just it's already lit for Clubber. Just jump in there.
And he becomes the number one contender.
Number one contender. Yeah.
I want Balboa. Yeah. He's ducking me. Balboa ducking me.
And so we finally like end our montage and land on Paulie, who's fucking boozing, watching TV and at a bar. And the bartender's like, hey, Paulie, give Rocky my best. He's like, I've been coming here 10 years. How about you give Paulie your best?
And it's like the saddest sentence.
Yeah,
he's a heartbreaker.
He's reconciling with the fact that he's a loser, yeah, you know, and then it's like...
He's a fucking drunk loser.
Yeah.
And he's like an all-around shitty character. Like that, like...
He's racist.
Yes, he's racist. And they try to play it off as a joke, but it comes off even more than despicable. It's more annoying.
Yeah.
Like everybody, like all the guys at the black gym are like, get this guy the fuck out of here.
Yeah, I kind of like how they play it, where it's not like confrontational, yeah, but they're like, this Jesus old Christ. Fucking cracker motherfucker over here.
Yeah, it's like he's a cancer.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
So he stumbles into an arcade where he sees a Rocky pinball machine.
I remember that pinball
and
machine.
Fucking throat. Oh, dude. And all the shit in that arcade also.
I was so pumped.
For.
Yeah. I
all know. The like. Shit in this movie, all the merchandise, I'm a sucker for.
I want everything.
Well, and they shot it like in 80 or 81, but you can tell that it had that like 70s influence. Like, yeah, there's some like exteriors where you're like, oh, this is fucking beautiful. Like, it's like, it's the craftsmanship, like it's beautifully lit.
Yeah,
it's on that great 70s film stock, you know. Oh, just
it
like
looks fucking
it just is a movie. It feels, yeah, like a movie. Yeah. Yeah. You
it
know?
Looks great.
Yeah.
So Stallone has to bail out Paulie from jail, and
he shows up in the most beautiful suit, uh-huh, with like a $4,000 yes, camel hair coat on.
He looks fucking great. Neck is fucking just huge. Popping.
Yeah, and it's like he always had that, like, because he always has like the collar open.
Yeah,
in every movie when he's like not like shirtless, he's like just veins and fucking Adam's apple. Yeah,
zero body fat.
I mean, doing every minute on the minute clean and jerks at 135 at the gym the other day, and a couple of guys were saying that according to Stallone, he got down to 2.8% body fat for this movie.
I believe it.
He's fucking painted.
Yeah, I mean that's freakish. He's freakishly
he's
cut.
Freakish.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like, because he's muscular as all fuck, but he is diced.
Yeah.
It's just like his posture is so fucking insane.
Yeah, you got the forearm veins. Yeah.
So
looking vascular as fuck, Raj.
Yeah, Raj is looking.
Yeah, take a vinegar shot.
I do a vinegar shot before every action, boys. I recommend you guys, you listeners, do the same before
we should
you play,
do buys and
play.
Tries right before action, boys, every day.
Get all fucking pumped up.
Get the fucking blood flowing. I did do buys and tries because I fucking busted out the dumbbells because I can't not work out when I fucking. Like, I mean, today I was literally like, I'm going out to like a fancy dinner and supposed to drink a lot. I just texted Tiffany. I was like, I'll drive because I'm working out tomorrow morning because I just watched Rocky III.
I defy anybody to watch these with the train montages
and not push-ups
and not be inspired to fucking exercise.
Yeah, you know, fucking jump a rope or some shit.
Hey,
lazy
come on.
Bums.
Fucking fat fucks.
Good Stallone joke that he gives Paulie bitching about stuff. He's like, you gave me this X-Lax watch.
It's a total Stallone joke.
Yes.
Hey, throws it on the ground.
Come on, you're mentally irregular, all right?
I love
you're
this.
You're just a jealous, lazy bum.
There's tons of, like, bum and class talk.
Yeah.
You got no class. Bum. It's like an obsession for him.
Yeah, that's like an uncle thing, you know? Like, this guy's a fucking bum, you know? It's like that generation of just like,
yeah,
oh, fuck that football player. He's a bum, you know?
Oh, on the bar that Paulie got drunk at, they talk about how Stallone's going to do a charity match against wrestler Thunderlips, the fucking wrestling championship. This is what, like... I think one of the big mistakes of this movie is the Thunderlip shit, because it like throws the reality of the whole series into question.
And it's an insane tonal shift, and it's a miss comedically. Like,
yes,
he takes like 15 different swings for jokes in that sequence, and it's played a little too crazy. I love it because it's fucking Hulk Hogan wrestling, yes, Sylvester Stallone.
So
there's like no way I'm not beaten off to
Rocky
it.
Rocky serenading Adrian in bed.
Oh, God.
And like doing some like, do, do, do.
I almost fast forwarded. I was so uncomfortable. I'm like, I've never done this, but I like, it felt like I was watching something I shouldn't watch. Like a special needs person learned something. I was like, I might fast forward this.
Yeah, man, you should never watch a special needs person learn.
No, yeah, yeah. You got this competition for you, Gabriel.
I love this Adrian line of like, you really gonna fight that wrestler? He's so big.
when they're doing the singing and he has her do the little like backup for him, mm-hmm, I think like there's a moment where Talia Shire breaks the fourth wall and just like looks at the audience for help. She's just like, please rescue. Like, I'm a fucking Coppola.
It's
like, so, rescue me.
It's so
I'm in the fucking
weird.
Godfather. Yeah. Get me out of this fucking shit.
All right, you sing background. No, you're doing it wrong. No, like this.
Boom, 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 boom.
Boo, doo, 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 doo,
It's such like
yeah, you're doing it wrong.
Hey, you're so little. You're doing it wrong.
Just to jump back to the him and Paulie thing, Paulie's just like, all I want is a job. And Stallone's like, do you want a job? He's like, yes. Like the resolution was like, your fucking uncle's been like shit faced for eight.
There's a lot of weird scenes in this that you would think would get cut, but this movie is also pretty trim.
Hour 40.
You know, I fucking love
What's your diagnosis, Dr. Runtime?
Dude, Dr. Runtime was fucking thrilled to go to bed early after watching this.
Yeah.
It's wild so when a movie's an hour and 40 minutes. You're like, that was plenty.
Yeah.
Like if they made a boxing movie now, it'd be like 2 hours and 20 minutes or whatever, right?
Hour 40 minutes is so fucking great.
Very satisfying.
Oh,
that,
and
that 40 minutes at the end.
These stories like write themselves. Yeah. Rocky fucking is at the height. He loses, falls, has to come back up, wins.
Yeah.
That's it. It's the most satisfying fucking thing in the world.
Yeah. It just happens to have in the middle a comedic wrestling sequence. It's like a Disney
I'll
song.
Say what saves that so we can get into the Thunderlips scene, but what saves it is how Thunderlips breaks character at the end. Mm-hmm. And it was like, great, you know, hey, just so you know, take my sport fucking serious.
Yeah.
And I guess I was at Gold's in Venice. And unfortunately, like I couldn't get in. There was some problem with my gym member. Like I hadn't paid my dues in a while, and
Create a new name and doing.
I was trying
pass.
To do that.
I've been doing guest pass there for fucking 16 years. Yeah,
I was trying. They kind of like got hot to it, so I was like haggling to get in there. And I saw some guys doing like medicine ball squats, you know, bouncing them high off the ceiling.
Wall balls,
wall balls, catch, receive. And they were saying that it's based on a like
you've got to keep your heels planted.
Yeah, drive off those heels. Yeah, you want to keep it in the hamstrings and the glutes.
You go up on your toes. You're doing calf raises, wasting energy.
No, and it's also sheer force on that patella tendon. It's all the stuff these guys are talking about, but they also said that it was modeled after like a fight with like Chuck Wepner. Does that sound familiar?
Against,
Andre the Giant.
Okay. Yeah.
And Andre the Giant threw Wepner out of the ring.
Yeah,
so Stallone
into the crowd.
And Wepner is the inspiration for Rocky to begin with, right?
Yeah. Bleeder or whatever. Lave Schreiber movie about him.
Oh, that's awesome.
Anyway,
so we're doing this Youth League benefit versus Thunderlips, the ultimate male.
I love
which is like, baby.
My favorite wrestling archetype is like Ravishing Rick Rude, Hunter, like Triple H. They all started out as like, I'm a sex machine. They have like long male pattern baldness hair.
Yeah, and that's sort of
huge fucking doughy tits. And they're like, I'm the ultimate man.
Hey, but Hulk and Hogan proved it true in the famous Gawker sex tape. He's got a big old fucking dick.
Yeah, we should
talk
about that. What a fucking bummer, man, to learn that like Hogan is like a full-blown racist, pretty much.
I know.
It was like, that one really just, like, of all the heroes to go down.
Yeah.
Like, but it's like, to understand, like, a guy who was born in the 50s in Florida is like, right. if we're banking on him being a solid dude.
There you go, buddy.
Yeah.
Make sense of it, Gabrus.
No, I'm saying if we're banking on him being good, we should have known even at his height.
He's from a different time, all right? Come on, give the guy a break, all right?
No, let the record stay.
Hey, listen, there's lead in this paint, all right? You know, the wall still looks nice. Nice, all right, we know better now. He didn't know better.
You got to give WWE credit. They pretty much wiped him out of the history books.
Oh yeah, he's gone.
Yeah, that's a bummer in a way too, though.
Yeah, yeah, it's fucked.
You do one thing now and you're fucked.
They're changing history. Who's next? First Hulk Hogan. Who's next?
What are you gonna tell me? Steven Seagal's a bad guy. What's next? Steven Seagal's not up to snuff.
So
I love this. The fight looks cool.
So in this world, wrestling is 100% real. There's nothing fake about it.
And the moves hurt like they should.
Mick is mad that they're even doing it.
Rightfully so. He's like, what is this?
Pounds of brain damage to get in there with him.
Yeah. There so many bad jokes. You ever fight a dinosaur? You're going to, you know, but the one good joke is, how much do you think he eats? He's like, about 202 pounds. You're like, that's a weird specific
coming
thing.
I go, 210 pounds. Yeah. And Mick like gives him a wink. Yeah, like,
that
I got
was
you.
Like the funniest line.
Thunderlips comes in as the ultimate male. First, the ultimate meatball. And then he calls.
He never says meatball again, though.
Yeah, he says meatball so fucking much.
Like the ADR to meatballs a lot, right? Yeah. He's like, get over here, meatball. You know, it's like,
and is that a
conservatively,
like,
700 times in the match he says meatball?
It's Italian dig.
Yeah, it's an Italian dig.
Yeah.
The ultimate meatball.
Baby! He, like, Hulk Hogan hadn't settled into, like, his persona.
He's not doing Hogan yet.
He's a little stiff, you know?
He's full-blown.
Tony Bollea or whatever his name was. What was his name?
Terry
Bollea.
Terry Bologna.
Dr. Terry Bologna.
You hear us, you racist fuck.
The announcers are doing like full blown Mean Gene Okerlund shit of like, Thunderlips has gone absolutely berserk.
Yeah.
It's Leroy Neiman is, I think, the one with the twisty mustache.
Balboa is really in pain. I don't think he's in this one yet.
He's the guy at the Clubber Lang one. He's the artist, right?
That's right. With the cigars.
That's right.
So the they throw Rocky out of the ring.
There's an ADR line of like, catch me,
Adrian.
Yeah,
catch me.
I know. That's what I retroactively rewrote that scene off, and I was like, that was some hacky. He's saying, Adrian, catch me in the air. That's so funny.
And then Thunderlips, like the fans start throwing cups and shit at Thunderlips. He pushes the ref, starts throwing security guards all around, and this is supposedly all real. And Mick has a fucking heart attack.
The Rock cuts his gloves off.
Yeah. The Rock makes Paulie cut his gloves off. And
then Thunderlips puts on a Klan hood. That was fucking weird. Like a weird, eerie premonition of like,
yeah. Yeah.
He's like, come on, let me get hard, you little fuck. He's like, let me try this on, brother. He's like, I'm going to shut down your website, brother. Hey, brother. I'm going to be in a major lawsuit, brother. I'm suing you for $800 million, brother.
I love Hogan talking about like how he wrote The Wrestler, really. And then like they wanted him in The Wrestler and taking all this credit for The Wrestler. And the guy who wrote it was like, no, he didn't.
The guy who wrote it is like a masterful screenwriter.
He's like, every wrestler talks
about it. I wrote that script, brother. You ever hear what he said? It's all about me, brother. How he says brother in the movie. Who else does that, brother?
Well, you know me, Gene. I wrote that movie, brother. Mick is very funny in this sequence, and we later learn that he's funny because he's Jewish.
Yeah. He's a Porsche Belt comedian, for Christ's sake.
What a reveal. Mick.
Yeah.
Irish Mick, you know, the first.
Irish? Nah.
That's why they called him Mick the whole movie.
Yeah, Goldmill. Yeah. Mickey Goldmill.
Goldmill. What a choice.
I love like how long a lot of these scenes are, even though the movie is very short.
It's super weird.
Everything seems weirdly padded.
Because there is only like two fights in the movie. Well, three,
so,
but
Rocky,
like,
so we cut. So they have a great, it's like the one of the refs is like, the announcer's like, see you next year, thank God.
Yeah, it's great.
I feel like there's enough. Charity really hurts.
Yeah. He takes his gloves off. So in the world where now wrestling is real, the heavyweight champion of the world cuts his gloves off and goes bare knuckle boxing against
him. He puts him in a chokehold, then like starts and Mick's like, go to the body.
Yeah. This is like Stallone just having free reign. It's just like he can do whatever he wants. Yeah. It's like, hey, come on, take the gloves off. And they're like, all right, Sly wants to fucking have his gloves cut off.
How do we hide? We need like a bigger fight. Like maybe he fights like other guys.
Yeah, he's like, what if a guy has a gun and I punch him?
I'm telling you, in my case, making the case for Stallone doing like big scale, big budget fan service, fucking Rocky fighting another like a wrestler.
Yeah, like what's the only sport that has like that level of entertainment value?
Yeah, 7 foot tall wrestler in a no holds barred match.
I would love to be a fly on the wall of hearing the meetings to try to get Stallone and Creed. Because he must have had some insane request that, like, they had to talk him down for. Of like,
oh, I've heard.
What if Creed gets sick and Rocky's got to fight him?
I heard
what
that.
If Rocky, what if Rocky beats Creed the night before he fights?
I heard
the kid. You want to beat Michael B. Jordan?
Well, when they're training, Rocky should beat him.
I heard from Stallone himself. I heard him say this, that he. What? In Creed, spoiler alert, he gets cancer, and then he's like, it kind of becomes his fight to like get healthy from the cancer and then train Creed, but he was like uncomfortable with Rocky being sick, and so he's like, he was thinking like, hey, you know, what if it's like one of his neighbors or something gets sick, you know, and then I help the neighbor and it's sad for everybody. And then he said even his wife was like, fuck you, you have to fucking get sick, it's just what it's gotta fucking be.
He's like, and he's great in that movie.
It's amazing.
He's like, yeah, something completely different.
I love when Stallone somehow gets painted into a corner where he has to do work.
Right, yeah, he has to like make good choices,
and it's fucking good. Like, it's like his own work worst enemy. Some clunky thing of like the neighbor having cancer is like, hey, what are we gonna do, Cree? We gotta get this neighbor healthy. All right, should,
you know, let's get rid of the neighbor thing, it's not working, you're right, but that's what you wanted. Like, well, let's just get rid of the sick thing altogether. Neighbor thing's not working, we tried your way.
He's doing Creed 2, and I know everybody's upset about it, but I can't
fucking wait. I loved Creed, man.
Creed was
awesome. Great, but Creed 2 is not going to be the same kind of movie because it's Stallone stepping in, writing and directing, and I fucking can't wait to see what he does. Wait,
he's writing and directing Creed 2?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why?
No fucking way. Yeah.
Oh. The director of Creed is fucking amazing.
Yeah.
What's
Fruitvale Station, Coogler, like Ryan Coogler.
Yeah.
Yeah, Coogler. Yeah.
That's fucking crazy.
Yeah, so no, Stallone's taking the reins.
And Aaron Covington wrote Creed, right? Yeah, dude at UCB.
We cut to Stallone in his Model T golf cart just telling his son the story of Pinocchio, and then we cut to him at the dinner table telling his son the story of Goldilocks and the Three Bears.
It's like the editor must have been like, let's just lose one of these. Let's put a scene in between them at least.
Yeah, I don't know, I didn't write it. And she said, this one, you know, is just right. And but then, you know, like, she's mentally irregular.
And then, Paulie, they give him this weird thing where he kind of wants to fuck his sister. He's like, she used to pay attention to me till you started showing up.
Yeah, it was like, they just...
Well, they were like weird codependents. Like, yeah. That started in the first one, you know? Right. It's like,
but they just need to, like, create some kind of weird drama in the house for some reason.
Mrs. Stallone, you almost look pretty good. And so they go to, they leave, you know, Rocky's four-eyed son with Paulie, and they're like, don't go to the racetrack or whatever.
I got a lock in seven.
She, the actress that plays the son, did a good job.
Yeah.
Because it's a woman now. She's a woman now.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Oh. And like a really successful tech writer and transitioned from Ian to Ina.
Oh, that's cool.
Hmm.
Interesting bit of trivia.
Choice of name. Ina is a weird name.
Oh. Yeah, but it's, I guess, it, like, to try to keep the three.
You're trying
letters.
To keep it like the same. Yeah, yeah. That makes sense. But
she's
like,
won a bunch.
If you're starting over from scratch, go fucking
go crazy.
Go for broke. Yeah. Fucking swing big.
Rocky Jr.
Transitioning. Now my name is Rocky Jr.
Hey, you made a wonderful choice. Yeah, so he's going to be honored and announce his retirement.
Yeah, I'm just curious. I'm very curious what Stallone, I would love to get his reaction to that. Seeing him fucking go into that landmine of
processing
like,
that.
Pronouns.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
like,
I just like
cannot process.
But Rocky doesn't have a daughter.
Yeah.
No. You don't understand. That was an actor in the movie.
No, this is a script continuity issue, all right? Hey, come on. Rocky Jr. It's Milo. It's my best friend Milo. He got me in the fucking the TV show.
Heroes. Yeah. This is us.
He got me in his hero show.
This is us. Come on. I'm a World War II
You'll
vet.
Never guess what show. Maybe you will guess. I don't fucking know.
Great follow on social media, Stallone. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, he's like, active.
Sorry, I haven't updated in a while. Doing some writing.
It's always like shots of like his $50,000 desk with like skull shit on there and like a bunch of.
And he likes playing like a befuddled dad.
Yeah, his kids are gonna be the death of me. All right,
you get my elf in this outfit.
So yeah, this is where we get the debut of the Rocky statue, and it looks fucking great, and everybody's
it's so
blown away.
Fucking cool.
The whole drama of that statue is fascinating.
I know. It's just like, just that. Fuck that museum. Just fucking take the statue, you fucking pussies.
Right. It like moved around Philadelphia for a while.
Well,
it's right?
Statue. It is, the museum said it was a movie prop. They didn't want to take it, but this is an artist fucking designed it.
And it looks great. And it's just a weird thing of like, what's wrong with honoring a character that's beloved? It is kind of weird because it's like not a real person.
I know. It's yeah, but it's like a great piece of Philadelphia history. Yeah. Now it's at a park that's at the base of the stairs that he ran up. So that's like the best spot.
It ended up in the best location. Yeah. Fuck the museum. Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck you, you fucking elitist pricks.
So Rocky, in his speech, when they announce, like, debut the statue, says he's going to retire packing in. Clubber comes out of the crowd.
Trolls him.
Fucking gets in his face. And
but it's funny that they have a wrestling match in this movie because Clubber is the ultimate heel. Like, he's playing a wrestler. Yeah. Right. Like, he's like.
And Stallone and Rocky is the ultimate meatball.
Yeah. And Clubber is great. Like, if Clubber was a real boxer, he would be so good at selling tickets.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's like it's McGregor. Like McGregor. He's putting on the show. Yeah. And Mick, of course, is like, get the hell out of here.
Yeah, he's nervous,
man.
Yeah, Mick's trying to protect him. We don't realize it, but he knows that.
We later learn that, Mick's been serving.
Shut up, old man.
And he starts.
You ducking me?
And Rocky's kind of like starting to get baited. But then, of course, Clubber really strikes a nerve when he's like, insults talks his to woman. Adrian, is like, I bet you want a real man. I let you into my apartment.
And it's like the most cliche way to get in someone's head. Like, well, how about I fuck your wife?
Yeah.
Hey, woman.
And it works.
Hey, woman. And listen here. Since your old man ain't got no heart, maybe you'd like to see a real man. And if I bet you stay up late every night dreaming you had a real man, don't you? I tell you what. Bring your pretty little self over to my apartment tonight, and I'll show you a real man.
I love that he drops that he has an apartment.
Yeah, I know. It makes it so funny. Yeah,
Lang's not a homeowner?
It fits in with the fucking theme of the movie.
Yeah.
Rocky's lost his masculinity. He can't get it up anymore, basically.
Right. Rocky's
impotent in this movie.
Yeah. And then also on top of it, Rocky is like the Drago role of like Clubber's the gritty guy who's back to basics and fucking.
I can't wait to talk about Rocky IV and talk about how that's so backwards, how like the fucking Soviets are using high tech shit. Rocky's in the fucking snow. He's like, no, it wouldn't be like that.
Famously, Sugar Ray Leonard fighting Duran, like Duran insulted Ray Leonard's wife.
Ooh.
And that was like a huge fucking thing that like, and then it put Leonard off for that whole fight. Like Duran got in his head. Like I read like, who was the corner man for Muhammad Ali and Sugar Ray Leonard? I read his book.
Oh, I forget.
Angelo Dundee. Yeah.
Wow.
Ange Dundee, yeah, and he talked about it, and he's like fucking off his game. So I'm wondering, because I know Stallone lifts stuff from real life, you know. Like,
oh,
I'm
sure that's probably. Oh, fuck.
Why don't you come over to my apartment tonight? I'll show you a real man.
So Mick takes off.
Make sure you buzz 4-H, because my buzz is broken.
Yeah.
You better throw something like a pebble at the window, and then I'll come down and let you in, because the buzzer don't work.
And if you got a sweater or a long sleeve or something, you better bring it because they shut the heat off.
Don't mention I have a cat because I didn't pay the pet deposit. I don't want anybody knowing that I got a cat in there. It's a $50 pet deposit.
And he'll get out if you don't shut the door real fast like. You got to shut the door faster than a cat.
So come back to my house. Don't let my cat out. Come to my apartment and I'll show you what a real man is. Just keep an eye on the cat.
I'll show you what a real man is when you come to my apartment. But
don't flush the toilet while someone's in the shower.
My cat Snickers is domesticated. He ain't trained to be outside, so you gotta let him inside. And he ain't had his last round of shots yet, so he get out there, he get a wee.
Try not to wake up my roommate. He works at night, so he sleep all day. And I can't afford to lose this apartment. It's $800 rent control.
And he is his name on the lease.
He signs for my packages when they come.
Don't be fooled. When you see all the VHS tapes we have, those are mostly my roommates. So you cannot borrow them. So but we proudly display them like they're both of ours.
A real man, but we gotta do it all quiet like. Cause he's gonna be sleeping. He a real man when I wake him up. And you know I wanna fuck Noisy. I wanna fuck you, Noisy woman, but I can't.
It's already two strikes against me. He said the third strike, and I'm out. I signed a contract. I made a mistake. I didn't preview the contract.
That's bullshit, because I'm the one cleaning up.
And don't watch that TV, because I made a big stink about not paying for half of the cable bill. So I told him, I don't watch TV. I'm training, so
and
you can't watch it either.
He's stealing the cable.
I will say,
I don't hate him, but I pity the roommate. I pity my roommate.
I will say, those are his dry roasted almonds, and I've been dipping in a lot. it is on me to replace those dry roasted almonds. So if you have time to go to Trader Joe's, pick up almonds. He likes half salt, not full salt.
He's been leaving his dishes in the sink. We've been getting rats.
Oh, my God. Oh, shit. I have a headache now.
So he says basically that.
So he says all that shit, and Mick took off. Mick comes, like, and Rocky goes back to their house. Mick has moved in to Rocky's house.
Yeah.
And he has a room.
Well, that was a point of contention for Paulie,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Paulie was pissed off about that.
That they moved Mick in, but not him. And then, like, Rocky, in that moment, wants to fight Clubber. He's like, fight's on, basically. Yeah. And then Mick says, like, not with me. You know,
this
like,
guy will kill you within three rounds.
Yeah.
It's so, like, Burgess Meredith is so fucking awesome.
He'll knock you into tomorrow, Rock.
Yeah.
And he's just, every line is a fucking classic line out of Mick's mouth. Like, he just is in the zone and can do whatever he wants as Mick, and you love it.
If you look at the script, his lines must be written as, like, with, like, bullet points. Like, amazing quote, like, you know what I mean? There's no... They don't even have to, like, he doesn't say anything that's more than two sentences
to you
long.
That can happen to any fighter. You got civilized.
Yeah. Oh, it's great.
I saw the look in his eye. I saw that look in your eye. And now I'm doing Clubber Lang's voice.
You ain't been hungry since you won the belt.
Basically.
If you don't, I'll tell everybody you haven't bought a new pair of underwear in years.
That's that such a Stallone.
There's like multiple, and then then Apollo has like a fucking like wash your underwear.
Yeah, better
like
wash them before you give them back.
Yeah. That's very funny.
It is because it's like Stallone's level of humor is like an uncle's sense of humor. Like there's no idea about comedy.
Hey,
it's all like,
no, let me tell you, it's very funny because you don't wash your underwear, they get a little poop streak in there. It's hilarious.
Nick tells him that like he set him up with shitty fighters, just because he thinks the fight with Apollo should have killed him. And it's his job to keep him safe and keep him winning. But, like, he should know, like, he's got to get out. But Rocky, of course, like, convinces him to just do this one last fight.
Arguably, kind of a dick move on Mick's part, right?
No.
No?
No. To what?
To not, like, give him big challenges? Like,
no, I mean, they were all, he concedes the point a little bit. Like, he says, look, they were good fighters, but they're all just past their prime. Right, they weren't. Right. I mean, I wouldn't say they're full-scale tomato cans, but he was... making sure that he wasn't having him fight anybody real
big
hungry.
Yank Ball was probably a big...
I set you up against Big Yank Ball.
Yeah.
We're going against Big Yank Ball, Rock.
Yeah,
and then fought Big Yank Ball and Thunderlips.
Yeah, and like next you have fucking... Dildo Buttfuck. He's tough, Rock. Dildo Buttfuck is a tough one, Rock.
He was a good manager. He's just being a good manager, you know?
So they train, the training's a circus.
Yeah.
Or as Mick says,
pushing, getting ready for the fight, pushing. That's Frank Stallone.
Let's go back to the old gym.
They're training in like the Four Seasons lobby, it seems.
Yeah.
Like.
Well, like Mickey doesn't want to do it. And Rocky's like, hey, come on, we go out in style.
Selling shit. This is like our second training montage.
Yeah.
We see Clubber like fucking training his ass off, doing a lot of like crunches and shit. And he's like, alone.
I train alone. I work alone while my roommate, he's out from 5 to 9 p.m. every night.
My roommate works nights, so I gotta train nights. My roommate, Jason, he's tough. He's a valet. Jason, me driving all kind of cars. He's a valet at the Standard Hotel. Sometimes he bring back appetizers from the restaurant there 24/7. But
I don't want him to. It's hard not to eat that stuff.
Get junk food out of my house.
Let's talk about this training montage, because this movie is peak training montage, because this is the first
this
one.
This set the standard of the 80s training montage.
Then they hit... like the one where he's not working that hard with Apollo. Then there's the actual training montage. Right.
Yeah,
that
well, that
works.
Could be argued that it's the same one that hits another gear.
Right. But this even, is a build-up. So under that, even under those auspices, that's like a montage that shifts tone in the middle. Like that's like, this is like peak montage. Movies do them better.
This is the best formula is, and you can use the training montages, shitty training where he's too distracted by everything.
Can I get a kiss?
Then really low point where he can't even train. Then he fucking gets his shit together and trains, then wins the fight.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
It's just
good math.
No fail formula.
Yeah.
Right.
For a good story.
And this training montage is like kind of for humor and for undercutting.
Yeah, it's a lot of Stallone jokes.
Selling, like, a Rocky gear all over the place. There's a fucking orchestra that's playing the Rocky theme song and mixed, like, learn a new song.
Learn a new tune.
Yeah.
Change the tune.
Yeah.
Stallone is in fucking, like, a silk halter top and, like, the whole time. Like, he's wearing,
he's got
like,
the black and yellow Italian Stallion stuff. It's all shiny.
Oh, I would kill for that Italian Stallion sleeve.
Oh, yeah. All the shit I would take.
Me too.
Yeah.
The woman that kisses him when he's on, like, the... on the bike is his first wife.
She's like, can I get a kiss?
Mm-hmm.
And then a guy asks for a picture in the middle of Speedbag.
Yeah, while he's on the Speedbag, he's like, absolutely.
And Mick is just kind of the voice of reason, being like, what are we doing here, Rock?
Yeah, let's get around the old gym with the blood and the sweat.
But he does train. What? He does train, yeah. And he...
we gotta go to the old gym.
Finally like,
blood, sweat. Come everywhere.
There's no jizz here, Rock.
Rock, like, how can you get your mind right when there's no jizz?
You gotta understand, there's no bukkake, Rock.
We got young kids with the look in their eyes and buckets full of jizz at their gyms.
Where's the blow bang, bang, Rock?
Blow bang?
The blow bang.
Blow bang.
The blow bang.
Great search term, by the way.
So, you know, Mick does is like,
what is everyone's top search term? Mine's stepmom. I like a lot of like mom and stepdaughter threesomes, you know?
Oh, where it's like young and old.
Yeah. A little taste of both.
Hey.
Moms teach teens. We're all pretending like we don't know the exact titles of it. It's like, what is it called like when you
the age difference is like 9 months. You're like, oh, cool.
I forget who some stand up had a joke is like porn's the only place where you go from barely legal to MILF in 1 month.
That was funny. That was Shecky Green.
That was, I remember that. Yeah, Borscht Belt. Like Mick.
Man, what are we going to do when this is all over? Maybe we'll join the circus.
What?
Join up with the circus.
There's a lot of scenes in this movie.
What do you mean by that, Mick? What do you mean?
You know, I don't know. I've always liked the acrobats and...
Yeah, but we got to train for that, though, you know? Well, I'm a fighter, you know?
Why do that? You're making good money being a trainer.
There's no way they pay as good as the fighting, you know?
You're probably too old to, like, learn something completely new.
I'm fucking around, Rock.
Jesus Christ, Rock. Pay attention.
So,
I'm obviously going to die soon. I've had three fake heart attacks. I've had three false alarms since this movie started, Rock. I'm not going to make it.
So it's time for the fight.
Yeah.
Time for the big fight. Apollo's in the press box. It's great to see him back.
Carl Weathers. Look better.
It's so funny to like, you put on Rocky and you're like, oh, right, Carl Weathers is a great actor. Then you put on other movies, you're like, yeah, he's fine. But he comes across.
Yeah, everybody thinks Rocky's going to fucking cream this guy.
Right. Yeah.
And wants him to because he's got such a big fucking mouth.
Yeah.
And people love Rocky.
Yeah.
And you feel it, like you get, I think that's, well, say what you will about Stallone's ego. I feel like it makes sense that people love Rocky so much in this. I don't know why. I don't know if you can like quantify why, you know, maybe
he's like a blue collar boy made good and became like, people love to see that shit.
Yeah. I mean, I think like thematically you can explain it, but just like, I just feel it in the movie. Like you know, when they start chanting for him and stuff, it just feels like. Yeah,
I'm amped as fuck. Like, well, if America has the same past experience with him, i.e. Rocky 1 and 2 that we do, it makes sense to be immediately on his side. Like,
Yeah.
You've watched him go through some shit.
Yeah, and then Clubber's bite. He doesn't want to talk to the press.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're making their way to the ring in a fucking scuffle. Like, I think he's like, I'm going to beat you like a dog. And Mick has a fucking full-blown heart attack, and he's fucked up. And Clubber even gives Creed some shit.
Yeah.
And that's fucking great.
Yeah.
He's calling him boy and stuff. Like, come on, Creed.
Hey, boy. Don't turn your back on me, sucker.
Oh, I love the fucking.
Oh, that's the second time. That's
when he shoves him. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Apollo's
hey, boy.
Like, you gotta drop this chump.
Yeah. It's great. Like, seeing how pissed Apollo's starting to get.
Yeah,
like,
Apollo.
He's the most fun character. He's the most interesting character.
He's very. He's got the most shit going on in this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they give him a fucking awesome turn. I this is what we'll get to it when it happens, but this is what elevates this movie.
Yes, 100%.
Adrian is in the locker room comforting Mick, who who's all fucked up and like on his last legs.
God, when he goes in like the fetal position, it's pretty brutal, man. He just looks like a little tiny old guy, you know, just like curls up. It's
he
just
seems
like
so fragile next to like the fucking iron, like the iron fucking.
So this is Rocky's dad, essentially, and Rocky's fucked up because like the guy's gonna die.
And I can't believe Mick says go fight like that. Like I'm like, if I'm Rocky, I'm like, I can't. I'm sorry if you're.
And Club, and so you know, Clubber's the ref gives him the rules, and Clubber's like dead meat.
Yeah, dead meat.
He's scared. And Rocky starts fast, and but then Clubber comes right back, and this is like terrible boxing, zero defense. Both these guys just taking headshots, and Rocky looks bad.
Yeah, but Stallone takes a punch. He's like the fucking best at taking
at the
a
end
punch.
Of the first round, he's in his corner. He's just, you know, losing. I'm losing, Paulie.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not.
He doesn't have Mick
it's
there.
Not, yeah. It's not boxing. But Stallone's good at whatever it is. I don't know what it is. It's like it just works for him.
He sells it. Yeah, like whatever. You can almost ignore anything that's happening with the hands because his face
it's
and like
the body, like
the body movement. And
it's
edited like fantastic. Yeah,
it looks
of course,
fucking great.
Yeah.
There's a couple times where you can like see the punches or the it doesn't line up perfectly, but it still looks fucking.
But they're
great.
Moving
it's better
fast
than the CGI bullshit. They're doing a lot of
way better than CGI, and they go for it. They give you these wide shots where they're trying, you know, and like it's enough of it. You could see the camera trick, but it's satisfying
but
to see it wide.
A little bit of choreography, you know, that's fucking exciting.
The knockout blow in the second round that Clubber hits Rocky with. They have a close up. I'll throw it up on Instagram. A close up of a Clubber. Just fucking with his like mouth open, you see his mouth guard and just putting his hand back and about to lay that blow, and it looks fucking great.
It's a great piece, like just the close up, like the frame is just his face and his fist.
I had one of those. I did this Go 90 series called Tales of Titan, and I punched Jason Ritter, and I had one of those where you punch the camera.
Oh, that's awesome. I wrote on Tales of Titan.
Did you really?
Yeah, I wrote.
Yeah, mine was.
I got almost knocked out. That was like when I was boxing for a little while, where a dude who fucking cleaned my clock pretty good, and it sucked. And I was like, oh shit, that's what it feels like to
you
get,
feel
like,
the tingly
wobbly
in the knees.
You feel like your legs fucking get all like, it's like, oh shit.
Yeah,
yeah,
the two
just
times I've been knocked out a couple of times. One time from a punch, and I was blindsided, and I've never felt like it, just like a bright light, and then like people picking me up. Like I just don't remember the in betweens.
Yeah, I've told this story before, but basically I snuck in a shot on a dude when I was just like doing like the defense work. Like nobody ever thought I would touch this guy, and he got so fucking mad. He hit me like 20 times in 30 seconds.
Oh my!
It was just like.
And you were like, ugh.
Yeah.
And it changes like your pH balance like, of your body getting hit that many times.
Is like, well, he got you.
I used to bounce parties in college, and I got sucker punched one time, and like the hardest I've ever been hit, like in the jaw, and it almost knocked me out, but it didn't. Like it wobbled my knees, you know?
You felt it, yeah.
Yeah, and then like the guy was lining up to take another shot, and this guy named Eric Robertson, who I played college football with,
like my son!
Pretty much.
My family! Yeah. My thumb!
Walter! Out of like seemingly out of nowhere, gets completely horizontal with the ground and form tackles the guy that was about to punch me.
Like Goldberg?
Goldberg style. Speared him. Like, save my ass. But like the hardest I've ever seen anybody. The guy fucking crumpled like Obi-Wan when he gets stabbed by Vader. Like, he was just like closed like at the end of it.
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah. And then like the guy, it exploded his head on the concrete. And then, the guy wanted to press charges, and a friend of mine's dad was a homicide detective that worked for the Oakland Police Department. And so like I contacted him and I said, hey, this is going on. This guy wants to press charges. And he's like, all right, let me see what I can do. So then he called me back and he said, there's going to be another police officer that's going to call you. And, this is what you're going to say to him exactly. And it was like all this stuff. Like, I do not recall. I do not recall. I said it like six times. And the guy's like, okay. And then that was the end of the investigation. Oh, we had to like massage it from the other angle so my body didn't get like fucking assault charges. Guy got hurt bad.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. I can't wait till we have to edit this out of the podcast.
I think the statute of limitations is...
A dude broke a mug over my head at a party one time.
Yeah, sorry, dude.
And it didn't... like, hit me with a fucking like Simpsons mug in the head. It didn't knock me out. It just shattered like glass on my head. I turned around. the guy, look on the guy's face when I just turned around. I was so... He was a track kid because the house was like half track, half rugby players, and he was just drunk and it fucking hit me, and I just turned around and the look on his face, and I was like, yes. He looked genuinely scared, and I was like, yeah. I just leapt on this dude and was just fucking teeing off on his fucking... More than the next day, I fucking jammed like three of my fingers punching him, and my hand hurt like 10 times more than the glass on that. Yeah. I could have just taken the glass of the dome and felt better the
you
next day.
You hurt yourself fucking like, getting back at him.
Yeah, but you wouldn't have been a real man.
Yeah.
Right, fair enough. Speaking of real men.
Not a real man. Yeah. So Rocky gets his fucking ass
kicked. This is the saddest part of the movie. Yeah. When Rocky has to go say goodbye to Mick, who like can't fucking even see, and Rocky got knocked out in the second round, and he's like, is it over? He's like, yeah, Rock, knockout. He's like, and Mick thinks he knocked out Clubber, so he's all happy.
Yeah.
And Rocky just lets him believe it. He's like, second round. And it's very sad.
It's very sad. The moment, though, when he comes back to the locker room and the doctor's like, he should probably go to a hospital. If I'm Rock, I'm like, you could have taken him during the fight. Like, you could have started this
Mick,
5 minutes
or let him take
right,
take
that's
them.
What you assume. Yeah, yeah.
I think they say it. Yeah. Like, Mick won't let him go.
It's like a DOR thing, you know?
Yeah. Mick knows it's time to go.
Crazy.
Yeah. And then we cut to
Mick. I want to tell you, I lost. Wake back up. They like get like the paddles on him and like bring him
I
back.
I lost like the second he's awake. I lost
real bad. I embarrassed
soiled my whole legacy.
I embarrassed myself and used my trainer.
I blamed you in the interview.
I wasn't in shape. That's your fault.
I was just talking about how you were like leaving me for the circus, and I don't know.
So then we get, this is where we learn that Mick is indeed Jewish, and we get to see Rocky stumble through some Hebrew, which is very fun.
This moment stands out to me so much. I didn't recognize that it was a Jewish funeral, but what stood out to me was like how cool a tough guy can look in a suit and sunglasses at a funeral. Yeah. I swear to God, when I was a kid, I went to my grandma's funeral, I begged to wear sunglasses. My mom was like, not wearing sunglasses. I was like, but I want to wear sunglasses. Because I remember even saying to my dad, I'm like, why is he wearing sunglasses? And my dad's like, because they're like in the fucking tomb.
Yeah, but he's
and
also like, got like big black eyes. Right, and shit. Right, right. Yeah.
But I'm like, why is he wearing sunglasses? My dad's like, so if he cries, no one sees. Like, it was like the other thing. And I was like, oh, I need. And I remember my mom going, hey, look, like, I don't even have some. You know, you're a kid. You have like, you don't have sunglasses.
He's got big ass cool 80s sunglasses.
He's wearing Cobra, like Cobra ass glasses.
I love it. Look, Granny died. We might as well find the silver lining in it. Let me wear a suit and sunglasses to the funeral. All right, Mama?
So I can finally look like a cool
And the scene goes on for a while. They do like the full service.
Yeah, he's like, Nahano. He's like doing like legit.
That was good, Johnny.
Yeah, Barakuman the time. I don't actually know what I just said.
And this is the first time, truthfully, that he's ever revealed to be Jewish, and his last name being Goldmill.
Goldmill.
They've never said his last name before. Yeah.
Always been assume, Mighty Mick's Boxing Gym.
You might have jumped to some conclusions, his name being Mick.
That he's Irish.
That he's Irish. No. I guess it's like a Mickey Spillane type situation or something.
And Max Bear.
Mickey Rooney.
So then we get Rocky
Mickey
just
Mouse,
like
big Jew.
Rocky's on like a bridge, just like overlooking the old neighborhood in like his motorcycle jacket.
Yeah, he got that cool motorcycle for Christmas. He's driving that around.
Bikes back to the cemetery. Like pop looks in at remains, I guess. Then he throws his helmet, which he never wore anyway, at the statue of Rocky.
Yeah. That'd be weird, like, just like if you're just some Philadelphiaite, like you find like a helmet that you kind of hold on to, like you never knew it was the heavyweight champs.
Yeah, that he never wore, you just carried around. Yeah. Just
it's also
it
it's like he's always like he's like leaning against his motorcycle park next to. I'm like, you're definitely not supposed to have driven that to the statue. Like, the statue is, like, not on the side of the street.
No way.
Yeah. You're driving it through a park. Yeah.
So how did you get that bike up here? Is
you rode a motorcycle into a park at night and got off and, like, looked at a statue of yourself.
There's a bunch of cut scenes of him.
Adrian's, like, seeing this from a distance. She's like, they call me a retard? What is this guy doing?
There's a bunch of cut scenes of him, like, nervously driving the bike up steps and stuff and, like, falling. Oh, shit. God damn it.
So it would be awesome if he had the Delta Force motorcycle at this moment and then just shot a fucking mortar out the back, blew the statue off.
The statue, just blows up the fucking museum.
Does the yikes face and slinks away.
Uh-oh. I gotta go to club as a bobbit. Yeah.
Shut up, you wanna wake up Jason, you fool? What you doing here this time of day?
Waiting on a Tide delivery. I thought you were that Tide delivery.
I gotta wait outside because the buzzer still ain't working. So, oh shit, the Arrowhead truck's here. I gotta put all the empty bottles out because they've been writing me notes for that. Jason gonna kill me. Radiator leaking. Radiator leaking. Messed up my rug.
You know I love my rug, Rocket.
So then he sees the sign for Mickey's gym.
Mighty Mix.
Inside, Mighty Mix. This is one of the highlights of the movie.
Oh, my God.
He's just in there, just having a moment by himself. And who walks in?
From this point on in the movie, can I say it here? We've got ourselves.
We got a movie.
It's right about the hour mark. This is like the last 38 minutes of the movie. Mm-hmm. Fucking kicks into overdrive, and I say that this is what makes this movie special.
Yeah. Right? And it's because fucking Carl Weathers is awesome.
He's awesome, but
and Apollo is a great character.
Yeah,
great. And also, what a cool fucking thing to have like the enemies before team up. I'm telling you, Stallone in fan service is like, hey. What if they become best friends?
Well, that's like he's got that figured out. Like Expendables is that. Expendables is like, I know what you like. Here's 8 of them. Maybe it doesn't work, but
we can't beat him. Then he does beat him. Then they work together and beat a different guy.
Yeah. And
then,
it's like
then he avenges his death.
Yeah. It's but this whole fucking it's like
there's something very
Vader cool. being Luke's father. Yeah. I mean, for me it's just like fuck, they're it's friends just
somehow
now.
Like is a cool move that may like you pay for the for that alone.
Yeah.
And there's something interesting about Clubber being like a tough, like gritty black dude. And that's kind of like what Apollo Creed was. And Apollo's like, I'm going to train. You're going to get trained in that way. And like, I mean, we hear it a lot from Paulie.
There's a lot of weird racial stuff going on with the whole Rocky series.
But they flip a lot of stereotypes on their head. Like Apollo teaches Rocky how to swim. This movie posits that if you could do the butterfly stroke, you could win a heavyweight title.
Well, he's got to use muscles he didn't even know he had.
Yeah,
he's got to use muscles you didn't even know he had.
I would argue that he never really pulls off the butterfly stroke.
No,
they have like a millimeter like length of film of him doing it. You know, it's like him just like jerking around.
Apollo's speech is fucking great, and it's like, you know, you have that eye of the tiger, man, that edge. And that's where we first hear Eye of the Tiger.
And it will be said a couple more times.
Yeah, that's kind of Apollo's.
It's great. Has that ever happened where it's like a phrase and a song and it works?
Yeah, it always kind of feels hack otherwise. Yeah,
like I assume Survivor wrote the song after watching the movie. Or is it the other way around? Well, is the line from the song?
I know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Hit us up. Hit us up, listeners. We're depending on you.
Fuck
I'm not
you, Jason.
Well, I know from doing like I was doing some like dynamic warm up, just kind of increased mobility. This is at Muscle Beach in Venice, not Gold's. Couldn't get in, but I heard some guys.
You're just at the beach?
No, I'm at the.
You're at the. You're at the gym.
Gym.
Okay,
like the
I
gym
was working
part.
Out on the beach.
Yeah, and there were some guys that are doing low rows, real heavy, and they were talking about how Stallone heard Another One Bites the Dust, wanted that one for the movie. And then ultimately wasn't right or wasn't going to work out. So then he had this guy, what's his name? Something like Esposito do You're the Best.
Oh,
and
that was
going to be the song. But then he opted for Survivor's Eye of the Tiger. And then You're the Best went to Karate Kid.
You're the best. Hooray! Yeah. Great song, too. Great fucking song.
Yeah, because it's like history repeats itself. And like that doesn't make sense for Karate Kid, but it makes sense for Rocky. But they made the right choice in Survivor, but it had to be like after they saw
it's
the
not
movie.
Peter Cetera, is it? No, that's the other kid. Karate Kid song that.
No, it's like Esposito or something like that. I'm pretty sure.
Clubber is like getting interviewed by that asshole on TV. This scene's great.
Where, oh, yeah.
Like, because Apollo has a plan, convince Rocky to let him train him. Like, I'm going to figure this out. Like, and you know, I can promote and make this a fucking huge ass fight. And so Rocky gets on board. They're all watching TV of and Clubber agreeing to
awesome
take
the suits
fight.
With like alligator skin shoes and stuff. And, like,
and the guys
they're like
talk,
look like mobsters. Yeah. From this part.
Yeah. And the guy asks him like how he feels about like Apollo training him. He's like, Apollo who?
Yeah, so great.
And then,
so,
then the guy interviews like, Balboa was a great champion, but it's time to step aside and just being a real asshole.
Yeah.
And Creed's like, you know, remember, like just really already trying to motivate him.
Oh, and so
saying the best shit, man.
It's so awesome.
And they got to fly to L.A. because that's where Apollo's from. And Apollo takes him to, like, we get a cool, like, bum montage, basically.
Yeah. You get to see, like, Venice, what Venice Boardwalk is still like.
Really like, yeah.
And Paulie gets out of the car and is like, what are we doing in L.A.?
I know.
Well, location established. Continue moving.
And they go into a gym, and this is a real movie cliche of the 80s, I would say, of white people walking into a place where it's only black people, and it's like kind of record scratch.
It's supposed to be scary.
It's the scariest fucking thing in the world.
And then Police Academy would then later do that with gay people.
Yeah.
Oh, no. This room's full of gay guys.
What do we got? We got Animal House, Adventures in Babysitting.
Weird Science.
They do it in Weird Science?
Yeah, remember they go to the bar, and then once he gets drunk enough, he starts talking like an old black guy. Anthony Michael Hall.
Yes.
He called every day on the phone. Like that.
Right. Oh,
holy shit.
On the telephone? He did.
Oh, yeah. My God. I forgot about that. Probably on purpose.
Yeah. Paulie just straight up says, like, I don't want to be associated with these people.
Yeah.
He straight up says.
And that's, like, the least egregious thing he says. The least offensive.
He's got five or six more in the chamber that he's going to reveal.
He can't trained to this jungle music.
He ain't got no rhythm.
Yeah,
he can't fight like a colored fighter. Oh shit, dude.
I mean, I think they're establishing that he's a racist scumbag.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah,
it's not like
and Rocky kind of rolls his eyes at it,
and so does Creed, like, and the trainer.
They do treat him like a true fucking idiot that he is, but like nobody really gives
his job
shit.
Is to hold the boombox.
His job is just to be annoying. Like, just I mean, he's annoying.
He's negative.
Because he's so negative. I mean, he's a fucking racist. But aside from that, like, he's even just like a constant slowing down the action. I mean, he's supposed to just be like, hey, he can't do this just to show he can.
Like, right. Gabrus is a total racist, but at least you're positive.
Yeah. I mean, seriously.
You're optimistic.
And
you know?
I love jungle music.
And like, they're staying in. And Creed.
That's my Spotify playlist.
Creed has him staying in a dump just to kind of like get his eye of a tiger back, because like that's the where Creed came from, and that's what made him hungry.
Yeah.
And now that's what Rocky made hungry. Him the first time.
And then Creed will not take his own advice going into Rocky IV.
Yeah.
Like
and so
Creed forgets this entire lesson for the next movie.
Yeah, but it's a good juxtaposition to how like cush his life was and his first time around retrained
and
it, like
Paulie
the four
hates
seasons.
It and we get a funny scene of Paulie yelling at drunks even though he's a shitty drunk,
like,
and they're like,
it's funny because he's like, they're like the same style of actor, like the same characters, and he's like,
and he says like,
hey,
just like
shut up
weird stuff like, hey, you sterno bums.
Yeah, sterno.
Yeah. Get a load off, you sick sweatball stookies. Oh,
like, it's like, that's a great line, man. Like, it's like, well, let's get more specific than wino.
Yeah.
You sterno bums.
And Adrian's trying to make the most of it. And it's like, hey, well, he never had a honeymoon.
Yeah.
And it's like, you never went on a vacation with this bitch? You're a fucking billionaire. You're flying like.
Well, they had vacations, but just never a honeymoon.
Oh. Yeah, you know. Well, why don't you call one of those? Did she say that on every vacation?
Yeah.
Well, you know, we never had a honeymoon.
Yeah, it's
this
her line.
Counts, baby. Yeah.
So
come on,
Apollo,
for fuck's sake, one of these has to come.
This is the line.
This is when we realize how fucked up Rocky is. He's got like PTSD because he's sparring with Apollo and he's having flashbacks to his fight with Clubber, and Apollo's like trying to get him engaged, but he just won't fucking do it.
Damn, Rock, what's the matter with you?
And Creed tries one more time, and they do this beach run, And fucking
Rocky just
Rocky
doesn't
just
run.
Straight up stops. He like, he's having flashbacks, and Apollo gives up at this point.
I want to say Rocky does say in this moment, he goes like, "We got to get your speed and endurance up," and he's like, "Mick never wanted to do that." It's like you had like three running montages in the other movies. Mick definitely made you run.
Also, they have a set distance set up for them to run like 40 yards or something, and there's a cone with a little flag for the finish line, which I think is pretty funny.
So we could see it the whole time, you know? We don't want to lose track. What if we...
All right, Stallion, we're going to run to that flat.
And when you beat me, you're ready.
Yeah. Hey, you know, maybe tomorrow.
Man, there is no tomorrow!
Where I stopped, I thought we were ending there.
Yeah.
Stallion, it's where the flag is. All right.
Okay, so this close, this red flag over here by the lifeguard chair...
No, Stallion.
That's for boogie boarders. That's to denote where the boogie boarders are allowed.
Hey, I gotta say, the only flag I see is on that boat that's out in the water. You want me to run in the water? I thought we were stopping at the crab. Stallion, you know I didn't say that. Hey, Apollo, look, there's a big American flag that's waving over there at the top of that restaurant. Hey.
It's fun that Adrian is like watching all the training too. Like if I was like,
Rock, I love that.
If I was Rock, I'd be. If it was in real life, I'd be like, Tiff, please just go fucking go shopping.
It's like, take your fucking dumbass brother the fuck out of here.
I know. I can't believe Apollo didn't say that.
I keep dying for him to be like, Adrian, get Paulie the fuck out of here.
Both of you, go have a fucking lunch.
Here's $1,000. Go buy a fucking the most expensive meal you ever had.
True, but I do love like just having a team around you, like watching you train.
Well, and then we get this great scene of that's weird as hell of Adrian being like, "What are you doing here, Rocky?"
Yeah,
because I loved it. Her attitude, her angle is very smart. It's like, it's fine if you want to quit, but do you want to quit? Like, and it's like such a cool.
Nothing is real unless you don't know who you are.
It's great. It is the weirdest word puzzle. They sell it like it all works, but it's like, but if you. Believe in yourself and you want to win, then win. But if you don't, then what's the truth?
I'm afraid!
Oh, you think I'm not? Well, if you're afraid, then you want to win and you're afraid. But if Mick knew, then you knew. But if you didn't know, then sometimes you do know.
I don't know what I am. I'm a liar.
It's like when you watch a like filmed improv scene and you're like, why are we talking like this?
Yeah. Just like these weird circles, like,
and
who
then
you
just like end suddenly.
And then Rocky's like, how'd you get to be so tough?
Yeah. It's like, I live with a fighter.
There's a fight. And then you wake up after a few days.
There's like, he says like a few,
you wake up after a few years and then you don't even know who you are anymore. Well, I'm afraid for some of my life. I'm afraid.
Oh, that line hits though.
Yeah.
That line hits for the first time in my life. I'm afraid that fucking gets me in the chest. I'm not going to lie.
So well, you wake up after a few years. You wake up after a few years.
You wake up a few years.
I'm fried.
And you see, you like Talia Shire looks to the camera again. Like, oh fuck.
Yeah, this is as good as it's going to get, guys. So let's just fucking.
That's a wrap, baby.
So now, fucking, woo! We finally get it. The Rocky theme song starts up,
it's
and we
so,
start training.
I'm getting fucking juiced up.
They
just
make
here.
You like they're good at knowing when to bust that out.
Yeah,
because and the build of that song, the song's like first few notes can be so like quiet, and it's just dun, dun, and you know, all of a sudden you're like, yes.
The famous Bill Conti theme, gonna fly now, and
so
then like
Rocky's
it's like
footwork comes together. Rocky, so before it was Apollo wearing the halter top, and now that Rocky's fully bought in, he's wearing the halter top,
and he's doing the footwork, and he's jumping rope, and he looks
Paulie in the pool,
yeah,
it's great. There's some good fucking laughs. Great. Sylvester Stallone looks so great and so athletic until he's in the pool, to be fair.
Yeah.
I was on a swim team and we used to do races as Rocky style butterfly, which is you have to take a breath every time and you can't do any of the other body. It's just all arms. I mean, like, it's so specific.
Great job, Rock. Three more laps to go. And it's just like 1 second of him almost drowning.
And this all these scenes are intercut with him actually engaging in the running with Apollo on the sand.
Right. Trying.
And
where
they shoot it like they're both animals. I mean, it's like a horse race.
It's
like where they're zooming in
like
on
a
their fucking,
it's like a
their
cheetah
muscles
running.
Working.
Yeah, yeah,
totally. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a shot exactly like a track meet.
Yeah.
And it's like so a horse, like a
racetrack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's so weird to see like how Apollo has to like start to lose, and like it's just like so unbelievable.
Yeah,
like he's like trying to like put like his shoulders up or something, but he's just so athletic and fit looking. There's just no fucking way, you know.
Especially with like, because lowering your body fat that much would make you worse at all that kind of shit.
Oh yeah,
yeah, it's harder. Yeah, like life is harder.
You have nothing in the tank.
Yeah,
yeah.
But Rocky does it. He's fucking back, baby. They celebrate. They splash each other in the ocean.
Again, this is like the famously the most gay scene in the movie.
I think you could argue also the last scene is like there's like,
oh yeah, you mean when they go to like a dungeon
ding,
to fuck?
Ding.
Yeah, and they're wearing like their underwear.
Yeah, yeah. They like are
both they show up greased up.
Greased
yeah,
up
they're both pre oiled, ready to fuck. Yeah.
Remember that favor? This is that thing.
I didn't take it out for air, Rock.
We gonna start a bell or some shit?
Stallion.
Okay, Stallion, I didn't take it out for you to look at it.
Yeah.
Don't just look at it.
Yeah. Stallion. We're in MSG, baby.
Love that they go to New York.
Yeah,
for this.
Perfect place for this type. And they don't do this shit in New York anymore, right? Like, they don't have fights in New York.
No, I think they just legalized MMA and MSG had their first UFC fight there.
It was a long time in, but what a great setting for anything. MSG.
What a great fucking name for an arena, you know?
Yeah, Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
It just sounds great.
He's tailor-made for me.
Yeah.
I pity the fool.
He comes out toe-to-toe. He's tailor-made for me.
Apollo is, you know, trying to get, he's like, stay cool, so getting him in the zone. Clubber, they
gives him
Clubber,
the shorts.
He gives him the shorts.
Oh, that hallway talk is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
It's like, remember why you're here. Yeah. Remember, it's like, it's fucking great.
Yeah, it's
man.
Like the silhouette, like backlit shot.
He's great.
Love that.
Wish I had Apollo Creed just like constantly coaching me through life.
Oh, dude, fuck, yeah.
It's fantasy wish fulfillment fan service. I'm telling you guys.
Do you think,
very
though,
French,
the reason
very French.
Apollo gives Rocky the shorts is because after they fought in Rocky 2, Sylvester Stallone, not Rocky, was like, those are cool shorts.
100%.
He's like, I want to wear them. I'm American.
Yeah.
It's
no,
like,
yeah.
Oh, so we'll have, you'll just get them as a gift.
No, dude. Also, this is like fucking Reagan era, right. Like patriotism, pro-America.
1982, my birth year. So yeah. This isn't the movie of my.
How can I get Rocky those shorts? Yeah. Man, I made a mistake. I made a mistake in the last ones. How do I fix it?
What if
that could have been the inspiration for
Apollo? Dude, the most genius part of the whole movie is just like, I gotta fight for America.
I gotta get the flag shorts, but I gave them to Apollo.
Yeah. Damn it.
Nobody cares about Italy in America. People in America care about American things.
And the one fight where he has, and it's the first fight with Clubber where he has his own logo on the fucking mat.
That horse.
On the canvas.
Yeah.
Which is like crazy.
You wouldn't be allowed to do that.
No.
You wouldn't be allowed to have a fight where like.
I can see maybe like somebody who really doesn't want to do the fight is like, I'll only do it if we have my logo on the canvas.
Well, they do it. They do that big thing in 4 for Apollo, but it's an exhibition match.
Yeah. Right.
So, and like, he's the big draw, so he could do whatever he wanted, really.
Great scene where they're like, Clubber, any predictions for tonight's fight? Pain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pain.
He's so cool. So cool. We get the
great
fucking, we get the
paper champion. You paper champion.
We get the glove touch.
Yeah.
We get fucking.
Take a look at those eyes. I've never seen eyes like that. A
lot of like soul, like a lot of like comments on the eyes. And they got like weird music. This is before they started playing like cool hype music. It's just like, we got the ROTC color guard.
Yeah. I will
and
say.
They brawl before the bell.
Yeah, I will say.
You shouldn't have come back.
The commentators
you
are
never
reading the stage directions from the screenplay.
Yeah.
It's like what they're reading, like the non-dialogue parts. Like,
so
eyes
down.
Are furious.
Yeah. Rocky is so slimmed down. Looks like a middleweight.
Yeah. 190 pounds, they say, or like 191. I mean, fucking Stallone has to be 160 tops.
50, yeah.
They 50. Say he's 6 feet tall in this, and he's like 5'9 or 5'10.
No, they kind of could like fake it in the other ones when he was a little like doughier, you know? It's like, oh, yeah, he's small heavyweight. But in this one, it's just completely unbelievable. He's like no legs, no ass, you know? It's just like, they've got to like, they just have to scale everybody else up. So they say that like Mr. T's 237.
They say Thunderlips is 6'7 or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
7 feet tall or something crazy. He's like 6'3 in real life.
Yeah.
I mean, I was just doing some clean and jerks
And I heard he was from, they were announcing this. They were like, somebody was double parked at the gym and they like asked somebody to move their car. And after they announced, and weirdly, they said that Stallone was 155.
155. Yeah. Oh, wow.
I believe
over
that.
The PA system.
Over the PA system. When it
we
was
got
like,
a Nissan Juke yeah, license plate
yeah,
number.
Yeah.
We, 7
if you're
DGA.
In a Nissan and you're double parked, you need to move your car. Also, Sylvester Stallone went down to 155 in Rocky 3.
Clearly. I mean, he's could not be more lean, but yeah, he's completely so unbelievable as a heavyweight.
Yeah.
You know, Creed just is like, this is the one of the lamer Rocky lines where it's like,
go for it.
Gonna bust you up. Go for it.
Yeah. That had Rocky. To be a placeholder. You know, yeah, they're yeah. like, we'll come up with something better. And they never did.
Well, probably in his mind, his justification is like, well, now Rocky's kind of cool.
And, also Rocky's gonna do the rope a dope.
Yeah, so it's like, yeah, all right, yeah, you bust me
bust
up.
Bust me up.
But
yeah.
That's funny because, like,
planted a seed.
Does Apollo not know that the rope-a-dope is the plan? Because he seems
he doesn't know.
He does not know.
So the Rocky's like, I got a secret. This guy who's trained me and turned my entire life around, I keep my strategy.
I don't think
secret.
Rocky knows it.
Yeah.
This is where you have the crazy ADR line. Don't turn your back on me, sucker.
Yeah.
Like Apollo turns around and
gets
like
shoved from behind.
So yeah. Rock comes out looking solid. And he's a new fighter. He's not as scared as he used to be. But Clubber gets him in a corner and gives him a pretty good pounding. And people start freaking out. He throws
knocks him down
twice.
Yeah,
Rocky lands the classic 16 unanswered jabs of a Rocky.
Yeah, there's a lot of jabs and head snapping back in this one. Where it's just like, God, cover your fucking face
up.
They
take fucking kidney and lower back shots so hard.
And Rocky starts just letting Clubber hit him. And
you ain't so bad. You ain't so bad. Come on, champ.
And he's doing the
knock
shit,
me
like,
out,
touching his head and fucking being a dick.
You ain't so bad.
And you know, Clubber's corner man's like, stick him.
Yeah,
because you know Apollo wants him to stick and move and just hit him and get out of there, but instead he just starts putting his gloves up, protecting himself, and just getting.
And just- taking hit. Shots, yeah.
And it looks like he's getting a fucking sledgehammer crush.
Oh,
he, like,
yeah.
puts two gloves up to cover his face, but they're, like, knocking the gloves off.
Yeah, it's fucking...
Come on, knock me out! It's so bad!
He's turning
Clubber's
his back
using
this way
all
and
his
just
energy.
Taking full, yeah.
And he's doing Muhammad Ali's rope-a-dope that he did on Foreman. I mean, that's where he's took this idea for how to end this fight.
Yeah.
And
at one point they say, like, he's getting tired. And then they cut to, like, Mr. T, like, breathing really heavy. It's a little on the nose.
Yeah, and he's like, you're breathing heavy.
Yeah.
And it works. And then fucking Rocky.
Right. His trainer goes like, hey, you're getting tired from taking all those, throwing all those punches.
Yeah. Time out. Let me bring the audience up to speed.
And he's really egging Clubber on and then fucking knocks him out.
And it's I'll say, interesting and satisifying to see in a Rocky movie the end fight last three rounds.
Yeah.
Right.
It's fucking
awesome.
Handily beats him in like the third round. It's like a kind of a brave choice.
It's fucking great. This movie, just the last half an hour of this movie.
They had to surprise you because of how the last, they couldn't go to the.
They couldn't go 15 rounds.
Yeah, because of the second one.
And also, Clubber isn't that kind of fighter.
No.
Right. And that's because Mick sets that up earlier, too. He's like, he'll end it.
This bum's never fought 15 rounds. And I think Mick wanted him to fight him nice and slow.
Right, and make it last.
Well, and they even talk about, like, how much Rocky, like, we forgot to talk about Tony Duke, the trainer.
Duke,
the guy playing Tony Burton.
The character's Duke, and he's Apollo's trainer.
Yeah.
Yes,
he's fucking awesome.
And he's the Rocky IV trainer too.
And
they're
watching, and he's the guy who is always saying stick and move in Rocky IV. And he's great. He's got the most accurate look of anyone in this movie.
Oh, yeah, you totally buy it. Yeah. And they're watching the fight. They're watching film on Clubber, and they're like, he's got, like, we got six rounds out of Rock. We got to end it there. But it's so funny because it's the joke we always make. Like, the film they're watching is in black and white, but it's, like, all Steadicam shots inside
it's like
the ring.
Movie footage.
It's just fucking footage from the movie.
Hey, who shot this? I don't remember anybody being
there. It's not like ESPN cover, like some like closed circuit camera. It's just like fucking like these beautiful shots inside the ring.
And it's it always works. Rocky wins. Cue the music. Everybody, we got the fucking.
I used to get that and the old HBO theme confused when I was a kid.
Very close.
Yeah.
Rocky jumps in the air and then lands on his knees in a great shot.
You're right. Never better.
Yeah. And then it's got that great end frame of like when they all like circle around him and then like he flexes his glove up for like number one.
Yeah.
Could not look more lean.
Could not. He looks fucking and diced. And then we have the best coda in movie history.
Yeah, then we got the coda of them walking in. Apollo said, like, I'm only going to help you if you do a favor for me.
And it's come up a few times in the movie. Like, remember that favor?
Yeah,
what's his
very
favor?
Weird. Yeah. And then it turns out Apollo wants one more shot at beating Rocky.
The reveal, like, they're walking in going, so what's his favor, huh? And then the lights come on and they're oiled up with boxing gloves on. You're like,
fucking
what do you mean, what's his favor? You know now. You have to know.
A secret fight. Just between the two of them to like really, you know, rubber band match. And it's awesome.
I love it.
And I love that they brought it up in Creed too.
Yeah, I fucking love it. And then Creed, spoiler alert, Apollo won the fight.
Yes. Yeah. It's revealed.
Which for sure.
Great.
Of course he did. Rocky's also 3 days, you know, like understandably a couple of weeks off of a fight against Clubber Lang.
I love it. They have
who knows how long time went by.
They've got the dumb jokes and stuff, age before beauty and all that. You know, you move pretty good for an old guy and they're doing all this stuff like, okay, champ, ding, ding, and all that shit. It's great.
Ding, ding.
And then it fades out into the Neiman painting.
Yeah.
Who has a cameo. Stallone.
Bam, bam, bam.
Fucking works.
Fucking way to end
it. Fucking works.
It's a crazy goosebump filled movie.
Should we rate this bitch?
Yeah, let's rate this bitch. Stallone. Stanger, hit us up. Stallone, take us through it.
Sylvester Stanger.
So we only review classic action movies on this podcast, so we're going to adhere to a classic rating system. Gabriel, so I'll put it to you first. On a scale of 1 to 5 stars, where do you have the 1982-3 masterpiece Rocky III on a scale of 1 to 5 stars?
Starring, written by, directed by, catered by Sylvester Stallone, Rocky III. Maybe they got that last
Everybody treat yourself to the pasta fazoo.
I brought a couple of arancinis for everyone.
No junk food, right? No junk food. No breadcrumbs on these chicken.
It's not my favorite Rocky. I've said that. It's my third favorite Rocky. But my third favorite Rocky is still fucking in my top 25 movies. It's so fucking good. But I'm only going to be able to give it 5 stars.
Oh, my God. Wow. Yeah,
that's a shocker.
I mean, this is a classic. So I disagree. It's not the best Rocky. I got to give this 5 stars, sucker.
Ooh, wow. All right, I'm going to
Stanger, back to you. Classic rating system for the film Rocky III.
I'm going
to
depart from what you guys both said to a third path.
Well, you have like a specific point of view that you usually have.
Dude, I'm
you have a certain attitude. Yeah, you have a certain
you
mindset.
You get off on being a contrarian.
I wish I could remember the word it is, but you
it's
have like
tough.
A tone.
I like to be tough.
Yeah.
I like to be mentally irregular. I like to be tough. I'm going to be greedy.
Schmeagle.
Now, you should know that Ryan is in a full mocap suit.
Go, 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 go.
Yes, hobbits is.
Cuppetses? I'm going to be...
Brutal.
So staying in line with how I am, I'm gonna go with 5 stars.
Five stars.
I don't do
let's
that.
Throw that over to the accounting team at Price Waterhouse to keep track of
God,
scores.
How much we pay them to do that.
If your friend Jason has a 225 pound black mohawked roommate who's training all night long when Jason's trying to sleep, recommend this podcast to him.
Do you work at an arcade? Recommend this to any drunks that wander in throwing bottles at any of the gear.
If you're a paramedic and you've got a patient that's redlining or going into cardiac arrest and you won't take them to the hospital, recommend this podcast to them.
If you have any small Jewish friends that you call Mick or Dago, recommend this podcast to them.
Do you know anybody who found a mysterious helmet next to a dinged up statue? They might like this podcast. Recommend it to them.
Do you know a smug newscaster who's really like got a like shit wiped under his nose when he's talking about a former beloved heavyweight champion? Recommend this podcast to him.
Do you have a friend who's so tired of hearing their dad explain nursery rhymes to them on a daily basis? Recommend this podcast to him. You guys hear that?
Yeah. What the fuck is that?
I don't know. Sounds like a clock ticking. So maybe it's just one of my clocks.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably one of your clocks.
It's this clock here, I guess. Whose clock is this? It's tied to a bunch of road flares with wires.
Yeah, it looks like it was sent to us by an Action Boys fan.
Oh, Jason Asshole?
That was a HeadGum Podcast.